We're holding on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We started talking about the mitzvah of Kisi Adam, that the Torah tells us when you shecht a wild animal or a bird, you have to cover the blood with dirt. We discussed that the blood has to be covered with dirt on top and on bottom, and we said that that can be one reason why it doesn't apply to kodshim. Now, there's no kodshim of wild animals, but kodshim can be birds, because you can have birds brought as a chatas or an ola, and the Mishnah had told us that Kisi Adam doesn't apply to them, so the question was, why not? Maybe you should have to do it. Maybe you should have to do it by them as well. So first we gave an answer that because you wouldn't be able to cover it with blood on bottom and on top, because if you put dirt on the mizbeach and mevatel it there, then in effect you're adding to the dimensions of the mizbeach, and you can't do that. So we said, okay, well, why don't you just then you cover it on top, even if you couldn't cover it on bottom, and maybe that should work. And we said that wouldn't work. So that's one reason why to say that Kisi Adam shouldn't apply to kodshim. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "V'ligurei v'lachasei." Okay, but why shouldn't he be required to scrape off the blood out of the mizbeach? So fine, chata sa'orif or an ola sa'orif, you have to squirt the blood onto the mizbeach. But then what you should do is you squeeze it, or squirt it, as we learned in Zvachim. There's a difference in that regard between an ola and a chatas. But whatever, the point is that after you apply the blood to the mizbeach, maybe you should be required to scrape it off the mizbeach and put it on the ground with a chasya, and then you should cover it with dirt on bottom and on top. Milaitzna, and after all, haven't we learned? Don't we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Perek, dam hanitas, that if blood squirts away from the area where you're shechting, Rashi uses the expression that you're shechting in a guma, in a pit, and then some blood squirts out of that. Now, to be exact, we learned earlier in the Masechta, you can't shecht into a pit, because that's the way that Minim would do, but what we mean is, what we said over there is, you can shecht in a way where you have like a groove running down into the pit, so the blood will collect there, so it doesn't get all over the place. So we mean, in other words, that instead of going into there, instead squirted someplace else. And Vishala Sak, Mishnah continues, that with blood on the knife, Chayav L'chasas, and the blood. So obviously you would have to scrape it off, and then you would cover it. So why don't we say Hochanami, the same thing over here, Nigrub and Nechasile, the same way you should be required to scrape it off the Mizbeah, and then do Kisi Adam. Well, the Gemara says, "Ib kodshim mizbeach." If the Mishnah was talking about kodshim that are actually brought on the mizbeach, namely, all this time we were talking about birds that are brought as a chatas or an ola, hochinami, then maybe indeed you could be mekayin the mitzvah by scraping off the blood off the mizbeach and then taking it someplace else and doing kisi adam. But hochamayaskin the kodshim berik abayis. But actually, what we're talking about in our Mishnah is where it's not kodshim of the mizbeach, but kodshim berik abayis, where only the monetary value of them belongs to Hekdesh, and they're supposed to be sold, and the money will be used for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. So now, let's say we're talking about a bird or a wild animal, for that matter, that was meant to be for Bedek HaBayis, and then you shechted them. So now they're also Bahana, because they still belong to the Bedek HaBayis. Now, it could apply equally well to birds or to wild animals. However, Tosfos further on points out that if it's wild animals, you should be able to be poured to them. So therefore, Rashi specifically says, we're talking about birds over here, whereby birds, you indeed don't have that, because the concept of pidyon doesn't apply to birds. So therefore, they're also bahana, and that's why it's potter from Kisi Adam. Okay, so the Gemara asks why, v'lifrkinu v'lichasinu, why can't you be poi to them, and then there'll be mutter to eat, and then you can do kisi adam. Now, Tosfos says, okay, but who says you're required to do that? So maybe you're not required to be poi to it, and then make it chayiv and kisi adam. Why should we say? The Mishnah is telling us it's potter. Okay, so he's potter, that's that. Why should we assume that he has to make it chayiv? So rather, Tosfos says, no, what it is you're going to have to be poured it, because otherwise you're causing kodshim to be ruined unnecessarily. Like this, it had a value that belonged to Hekdesh, and now you shechted it before you were poured it, and it's also bahana, you shouldn't be doing that. You need to be poured it, so that retroactively it'll be a good shechita, and then that way it'll have a value to Hekdesh. So why don't we do that? And the answer is can't, but in an ha'amod of a ha'arocha, because in order to in order to be part of an animal from Hekdesh, it has to be that it stands, you have it stand on its feet, and then you evaluate it, because the Pasuk says in Parshas B'chukos, when it talks about these dinim, v'hem edus ha-behema, and v'herich ha-koyen. So you have to stand it up in front of the koyen, and the koyen has to evaluate it. Well, the bird's been shefted, you can't do that anymore. Now, here's where Tosfos points out that on the face of it, we find from other Gemaras that we actually had Udi Renar Masechta, that as long as the animal is still convulsively moving around, even you shechted the two simonim, but it's still moving around, it can still be considered that you could do Ha'amad of Ha'arach. And Tosfos says, in fact, it would be a doichet to say that we're talking about only a bird over here. So Tosfos says that, so Tosfos explains that no, what it is, the reason why we can say we can talk about Ha'amad v'Ha'arocha, when it's still convulsively moving around, then you could do that, but Tosfos explains when you're talking about a non-kosher animal, or you're talking about an animal that was shechted for a goy, where there's no difference over there, then in fact you could say that when it's still moving around, you can still consider it alive, because the shechita alone wasn't enough to be matir it. But over here, we're talking about a kosher wild animal, or a bird, where the shechita alone is enough, so once it's shechted, you can't do ha'amad v'ha'arach. However, Rashi avoids the whole problem by saying that indeed we are only talking about birds, and as we're going to go on to say now, you can't do the concept of ha'amad v'ha'arach, the fact that you stand it up, and the Kohen evaluates it, the Pasuk mentions it only in connection with animals, not birds, meaning that you don't have that option available to birds. So you don't have that option. Okay, well, the Gemara says a chaman. Fine, but who is our Mishnah like? When it's saying, so now if we're saying that on Mishnah, when it says that it doesn't apply to Kodshim, it's talking about Kodshim Redek Abayis, which Tana would it be like? Ikra Meir, would it be like Reb Meir, Da'omar, where he says, HaKol Hoy B'chal HaMod V'HaRocha, everything, any kind of living creature, that was designated as Hekdesh, and he actually holds it would apply, so first of all, Kodshim is Veach, even if their Kodshim is Veach, if they have a mum, and Kodshim Redek Abayis, where to begin with they weren't meant to be brought on the Mizbeach, and he says that, and he would say that everything is included in Ha'amod of Ha'arach, according to him it would apply equally well to birds. Okay, but he also holds, as we learned in the previous perek, and as we're going to learn again in this perek, that even if the shchita does not make it mutter to eat, then it's still considered a shchita. So according to him, what's the difference whether it's mutter b'hana or not? Either way, the shchita was a shchita, and therefore it should require kisi adam, just like he says later on in the perek that, for example, if you shechted the bird and it turned out to be treifa, then it's still considered a valid shchita. The kid of Shimon, and if you're going to say all missionaries like Reb Shimon, he says that if the shchita is not suitable, as we learned in the previous perek, if it doesn't make the animal mutter to eat, then it's not considered a shchita, and therefore in the previous perek we said it wouldn't be implicated, and in our perek Reb Shimon says that kisi adam wouldn't apply. Well then, ha'amar, he says, he says the whole concept of Ha'amad v'Ha'arocha doesn't apply to Kodshim Bedek Abayis at all. It only applies to Kodshim Mizbeach. And if we're saying that our Mishnah is only talking about Kodshim Bedek Abayis, then there doesn't seem to be any Tana that it would go according to. Rabbi Yosef says, Rebbe even Nosav La'alib the Tanoi. The answer is, the Tana of our Mishnah is actually Rebbe, and Rebbe chooses according to the opinions of different Tanoim. In other words, we know, of course, that Rebbe compiled the Mishnah as we have it, but Rebbe used collections of Mishnayos that were available before him. So sometimes, and many times, we usually say Stam Mishnah to Meir, meaning that the formulation of the Mishnah as we have it comes from a Meir, and then it represents his opinion, and in general, and then that means also that Rebbe accepted that as the mainstream opinion. But sometimes we have where Rebbe himself will compose a Mishnah and choose it from scratch and choose the opinions of different Tanoim that he agrees with in different details. So when it comes to Shchita Shein Roya, he holds like Reb Shimon, that is not considered a Shchita. Therefore, if you have an animal where the Shchita is not going to be Matarit, then it wouldn't be considered a valid Shchita. But when it comes to Hamad of Ha'arocha, he holds like Reb Meir, that it will apply to Kodshei Bedek Abayis as well. So now what we have is that this animal is Kodshei Bedek Abayis, but if he shechted it, then it's too late for Hamad v'Ha'arocha, because now already it's shechted. And as Tosfos says, we're not going to say that Hamad v'Ha'arocha applies at all after it was shechted. So in that, he holds like Reb Meir that you can't do that anymore, so it's too late to be poydet. Meanwhile, now, because you weren't poydet, and therefore it's also bahana, and since it's also bahana, then kisi adam wouldn't apply like Reb Shimon. So the answer is that the Rebbe holds in one aspect like Reb Meir and in the other aspect like Reb Shimon. The boy same, another answer you could give, kula Reb Shimon, you could say the entire Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon, the shiny hocha, but it's different over here. Why would Reb Shimon, if Reb Shimon holds shchita sheni ruya lo shma shchita, then why all of a sudden would he hold over here by kodshim that was shafted, where there also bahana that you still need to do kisi adam, d'amakra b'shofach v'chisa, because the pasuk says that you pour out the blood and then you cover it. From which we learn, so you learn from that that only when the only two things that have to be done in order is spilling out the blood and then immediately you can cover it, you don't need anything else, then that's when you need to do kisi adam. As opposed to over here, even to do kisi adam, we said you would still have to be poide at first. So even if we held you could be poide at this point, but you would have to do that after the shchita in order to retroactively, now the shchita will be considered we said Reb Shimon holds that, so that's the thing. Reb Shimon holds you don't need ha'amod of ha'arocha for kodshe bedek abayis. According to him, you can redeem kodshe bedek abayis even after they were shechted. So there would be no problem being poided, but the fact is, after you shechted, if you're going to want to do kisi adam, you need to first be poided, and that means there's an extra step in involved, and the pasuk is implying that the two things have to be able to be done back to back without anything else between them. We find that kind of drosha in other examples, in other places, in Shas also, another one example of it is, for example, as far as the halachas of Gittin, the pasuk says, for chosav, it says you should write the get, the nosan v'yoda, and place it in the woman's hand, from which we learn that it has to be, that it's written in such a way that no other step is necessary between them, so therefore, for example, you can't write a get on something attached to the ground, because then you'd have to write it, then pull it out of the ground, and then give it to her. So the same way over here, the pasuk says v'shochach, and then it says v'chisa, implies that it has to be that there shouldn't have to be any other step in between. Now, Tosfos points out, what about scraping it off the knife, we said before? The difference is, if it hadn't squirted, if it wasn't left on the knife, you wouldn't have to scrape it off. But here, there's no way to do it without, or actually Tosfos points that out as far as later on, but the same principle would apply over here. The only way to do it would be that you first have to, that you first have to redeem it. Well, the Gemara says, Bahash to the Osis Lahochi. Okay, now that you reach that point, after the time of Kodshim is there, then you could even say, in fact, that our Mishnah is referring to Kodshim is there as well. And you could say, same thing, when do you need to do kisi adam? When all you have to do is right after the spilling, it's possible to do the kisi adam. Yotzeze, as opposed to this case, as opposed to, in this case, you would have to, in between, scrape it off the mizbeach first, and therefore. So again, it's one thing Tosfos says, as far as the knife. If it didn't, it doesn't have to be that there's blood knife. Conceivably, there could be not. And then you wouldn't have to scrape it off. Over here, it has to be of necessity. The blood has to reach the mizbeach for the korban to be kosher, and the pasuk is implying that the kisi adam is required only when such a step is not necessary in the middle. Okay, so all of that is a way of explaining. So all of that is another way of explaining. So again, so far we can say that our Mishnah is talking dafka about. We started by saying that our Mishnah is talking dafka about kodshim mizbeach. Then he said it could be talking about kodshim, and then we said it could be talking only about kodshim betekabayis. And now we're saying actually it can be talking about both. And in both cases, by kodshim mizbeach and by kodshim betekabayis, by both of them, there's a reason to not have to do kisi adam in both cases because you have another step that would have to be done. In between, in order for kisi adam to be able to be done, in the case of kodesh mizbeach, scraping it off the mizbeach, and in the case of kodesh bedek abayis, being poide the shechted bird or wild animal first. Okay. The Gemara says Ma'abar Avashi. Ma'abar Avashi says yet another reason why you don't have to do kisi adam by animals of kodesh. Omakro, the pasuk says chaya oy oif. The pasuk says bird. So from that we learn, ma chaya ain't a kurdish, just like a chaya can't be kurdish for the mizbeach. You never bring wild animals. And, you never bring wild animals as korbanos. And in fact, Rashi says, once you do that, you can't bring them as korbanos, So therefore, so you don't say so you're not usually now, even though in principle you could be makdish a chaya, you could take a deer, for example, and bring it as kosher beta kabayas, but you wouldn't usually, because if it can't be brought as a korban, you wouldn't usually be makdish to beta kabayas either, as opposed to a bird can be brought as a korban, and therefore you can instead be makdish as a korban. Anyway, ma chaya in a kodesh, just like a chaya is not kodesh in the sense that it's typically, that's typically not. In a Kodesh, the same way a bird is going to be one that's not Kodesh. Whereas if it's Kodesh, then in fact you don't have to do Kisi Adam on it. But then Ma'abar Rav Ashi continues, E Machaya in Shein B'minai Kodesh. Well, then if you were going to go like that, you could say that maybe just like there's no wild animals, you would say that Kisi Adam doesn't apply to it unless Ein B'minai Kodesh, there's no thing, nothing of its species that is Kodesh. Maybe therefore, by birds, we should say that Kisi Adam should only apply to the ones which can never be Kodesh. Otsi Torum of Neyona, Sheyesh Minam Kodesh. So then how would you know to exclude Torum of Neyona, total doves and common doves, Sheyesh Minam Kodesh, where there, after all, there are ones of that species that can be brought as Korbanos. So maybe you would say, says Ma'abar Rav Ashi, if you're going to go with my way of learning it, then maybe the rule would have to be any species that cannot be brought as a korban needs Kisi Adam, so that would include all wild animals, because there's no wild animal that's ever brought a korban, and as far as birds, it would include all of them except Torum of Neyona. And the answer is like, no, you're not going to say that, because Techaya, you're still going to say in that sense it's going to be like Techaya. Machaya l'shilakzaba, just like a chaya, you're not drawing any distinctions. You're saying that across the board, all chayas are higher than Kisi Adam. The same thing when it comes to birds. And then don't distinguish between different species. Any species is going to be higher than Kisi Adam, provided that it's not Kodshin. So in other words, the point is, it is going to have to be like a chaya in the sense that it's not being brought as a korban, but unlike a chaya, where there's no type of chaya that can ever be brought as a korban, by birds, it won't make a difference whether this particular species could have been brought as a korban or not. As long as it's not, in fact, a korban, then you do have to do Kisi Adam with it. Next. The Gemara says, so let's talk about, we just said that it applies only to a chaya and an oif, but we also learned previously in our Masechta that the word chaya sometimes is used more generically to mean animals in general, including the domestic animals. So the Gemara says, Amalei Yaakov Minah l'Rabba. So Yaakov Minah asks Rabba. Now Yaakov Minah is an interesting kind of name because it sounds so he's mentioned in another place in Shas as well, in Megillah, and Tosfos points out over there, it's hard to say that we have an actual question in Torah from him, but it's hard to say why would the Gemara quote a question in Torah from a min. So therefore Tosfos says maybe the Givsa should be, instead of Minah, should be Matsa'a, which means the Yud and the Nun apparently were originally part of the letter of Tzaddik, and then they got split apart by mistake, and then it would just mean that he's from a place called Matzah or something. In any case, maybe he was from a place called Min, whatever. Anyway, the point is, he asks Rava, Kaimalon Chaya B'chlal B'hemel Simon. And we learned in the previous parak that the word Chaya includes, that the word Chaya also includes Behemah. We said that the word chaya and the word behema, even though they have narrower meanings, a chaya meaning a wild animal and a behema meaning a domestic animal, but sometimes instead we find that the word chaya includes behema and behema includes chaya. We learned about that previously. So maybe we should say when the Torah says that if you shecht a chaya, then you have to do kisi adam, maybe it includes a behema as well. So how do we know, in fact, that a behemoth is potter? Amalei, so Rava answers, Allah ha'amakra, to answer, to forestall your question, is why the Torah, says, you're not allowed to eat the blood, you have to pour it out on the ground like water. From which we learn, ma'amayim le'boi kisui, and now the Pasuk is talking about, when you want to eat meat, and you shecht, the pasuk says, "Mibekorcho mitzoncha," from your cattle or from your flocks, which are domestic animals. And the pasuk says, "Al aretz tishpachenu kamoyim." So therefore, ma'amayim le'boi kisui, just like water, doesn't require kisui. Afhainami le'boi kisui, the same way the blood of a domestic animal does. In other words, Rava says it's true that sometimes the word chaya can include behema as well, but here the Torah is specifically telling us, by telling us when you shecht a domestic animal, pour out the blood like water, implying, and you don't need. So the Gemara asks, if you're going to compare it to water, elamei ata get bilubai. Well, if you're going to compare it to water, maybe you should be able to tovel in it. Maybe if you have 40 stuff, blood of blood, you should be able to tovel in it. And the answer is no. Omakra, ach mayin uvor mikve mayin. Only a spring or a pit that's a collection of water will be tahor. In other words, a person was tamei that he tovels in it. Ani ein midiachrin eloi. So only if it's a collection of water, a spring or a pit, midiachrin eloi, but not anything else. No, you can't tovel in 40 saw of blood. All right. Fine. You could say the pasuk is telling us to exclude other kinds of liquids which are not called mayim. So fine, you have, for example, now you have shiva mashkin, seven things that are considered liquids in Torah. So fine, you would say, let's say you can't tovel in 40 saw of wine or oil or whatever, but maybe avodam de ikri mayim, but maybe blood itself is actually being called water in this pasuk. Alar tish b'chena kamayim hachinami, maybe indeed, and it would be Torah. And the answer is no, shrei miyotik sivi, because you have two miyotim in the pasuk, mayim, mayim, ubur mayim. Because the Torah tells us, ach mayin uvor mikve mayin. The Torah tells us, a spring or a pit, which is a collection of water, then you can tovel in it. So that means, in other words, in effect, it says twice mayin. It almost says one time mayin in the pasuk, but it means, in other words, that it means a mayin, mayin, and a bur mayin. Therefore, so one tells us not other liquids, and the other one tells us even, not even blood. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Ema idi v'idi l'mo'uti shai mashkin." Fine, but maybe you could say both of them are excluding other liquids other than water and blood. And you would say maybe chad l'mo'uti zeichlin v'chad l'mo'uti mechunasin. Now, when it comes to a mikveh, you have like this: a mikveh that is a spring. The water can be flowing. The water doesn't have to be in one place. Now, you can have a case, for example, where the water flows into the mikveh, and Rashi refers to a Gemara in Tmura that says that if you have drawn water, which is possible for a mikveh, if you have more rainwater than drawn water in there, and then it's fine. Then you can bring in a pipe over there that has mayim shorvim and it'll be kosher. So that's called zeichelin. And the other one is mechunasin. Then you have where the water is all collected together in the first place. In addition, also with a mayim, with a spring, you don't even have to have the water collected in one place. It can be flowing and it's still kosher. Like the Arizal's mikveh in Tzfas is an example of that. The water is constantly flowing through it, but it comes from a spring underground and therefore it's kosher. So maybe you would say, when the Torah is giving us two miyotim, that you have to tovel in water, maybe it's not excluding blood, maybe both of them are excluding other liquids, and one of them telling us that you can't use zeichelin, that you can't use water that flowed into the mikveh to complete the shiur of it, and the other one to exclude where the water is all collected in one place, 40 saw in the first place, and maybe that, but maybe the Torah is still not excluding blood at all. And the answer is plus miyotik sivi. You actually have three miyotim in the pasuk: mayan, mayim, ubur, mayim, umikve mayim. Because you actually have the pasuk says ach mayan ubur mikve mayim yetar. So you have three different kinds of gatherings mentioned: mayan, a spring, and it says mayim at the end of the pasuk, so it has to be a spring of water. Ubur mayim, and then it says a pit also of water. Umikve mayim, and then it says mikve mayim, and then it says a mikveh, a collection of water. So each one of them implying that it has to be water and it can't be any other liquid. So no, even though the Torah compares blood to water, nevertheless you can't trifle in it. Okay. So far that covers for us then how we know. So that was a side thing, that was to show that even though the Torah compares blood to water, then you can't tovel in it, but the Rava is saying that from the fact that the Torah compares the blood of a behemoth to water, from that we learn that it doesn't need kisi adam. Okay. Now, we had said in the Mishnah that kisi adam applies whether the creature was mezumonin or ino mezumonin. So we said you can have a creature that was already that is mezumonin, it's already ready and prepared for you. For example, a domestic animal or bird, for example, domesticated wild animal or a bird that you raise yourself, like a chicken or whatever. And also, enim mizamonin, or where it's not, where you just happen to come across it or trap it or whatever. In other words, unlike we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, Shiluach HaKan, which applies only to enim mizamonin, here it's not like that. Now, so the Gemara said, let's discuss that. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when the pasuk says asher yotzu, that the person traps an animal or a bird, ein li ela asher yotzu, you would think that means only if you actually trap it. How would we know if they're already trapped on their own, basically? In other words, they already live in your house. If you're an absent in the town of Gerlin, for example, geese or chickens, you don't need to trap them. So how do we know that those are also chayiv and kisi adam? Therefore, the pasuk says asher yotzu tzed, that he traps a trapping. So from the word tzed, it means it doesn't matter how it's trapped, whether you trapped it for the first time now and previously it was living wild, or whether it's something that was already trapped because it was already in your house from before. Im kein matam alem asher yotzur. Well, then why does the pasuk use the word asher yotzur in the first place? From that, linda torah derech eretz. From that, the torah is teaching you the proper way of behaving. Shalo yechol odam baser ela b'hazmana hazois. A person should eat meat only if he's prepared it in this kind of way. Act as though you trapped it, as though it's not always ready for you. In other words, don't get in the habit of eating meat all the time, because then that's going to impoverish you. You end up using all your money. So therefore, the Torah is telling you, act when it comes to meat as though the only time you can get it is when you have to put in a lot of effort to it, namely going and trapping it yourself. But not that the din of kisi adam applies only in that case. It applies across the board. Okay. So now the Gemara continues talking about.
Is this thing? That thing about meat you just mentioned, how can it be applied today? We don't hunt for meat.
But in other words, the same idea. In other words, don't just go and buy meat to eat every day. Realize that it's a special treat for as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, and don't spend money unnecessarily on it all the time. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa." The pasuk says also in this connection, "Ki yarchev Hashem alekech hazdocha." When Hashem expands your borders, and you say, "I want to eat meat," the pasuk is describing, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that in the Midbar we had two different opinions. What was the story if they wanted to eat meat? Is it that they had to bring it as a korban, they weren't allowed to shecht it in the Machne, or is it that they had another option? If they wanted, they could kill it without shchita, but if they wanted shchita, then they had to bring it as a korban. In any case, the pasuk goes on to say in Parshas Re'eh that when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will expand your borders. You're going to be living far away from the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash, and you want to eat meat, so you can't be expected to bring it as a korban. So then the Torah tells you, go ahead and shecht, and you can eat wherever you want. And the expression is in the pasuk, kisa avan nafshecha lechol basar, that your soul desires to eat meat. So lim the Torah derech eretz. With that, the Torah is teaching you the proper way of behavior. Shalo yechol adam basar elo te'oven. A person should eat meat only when he has an appetite for it. So in other words, again, it shouldn't be a person's regular fare. When he has a specific craving for it, then fine. Now yochol yikne adam minashuk v'yechol. So you would think then that fine, a person wants meat, just go and buy meat from the store. Therefore, the pasuk continues, shecht from your cattle and from your flocks, meaning, in other words, even then, even if you have a craving for meat, you really shouldn't unless you have your own herd of animals. Now, I guess, like you said, nowadays, most of us don't have herds of animals, so therefore, fine. So maybe then this wouldn't necessarily apply, but the Gemara itself is going to point out that it doesn't necessarily apply in later times as well. But the point is, in other words, that at least the person should act as though it's not like meat is going to be a constant thing that I have to have. When a person, if you have the resources to have meat, then fine. But not just, in other words, you shouldn't just go be buying it willy-nilly. Fine. Then you would think it means that maybe even a person could shecht his entire herd or his entire flock and eat. Maybe if the Torah is telling us that you can shecht from your flocks and your herds, then it means that there shouldn't be any limitation. Therefore, the Torah says from your cattle. So from that we learn that it means not all your cattle. From your flock, but not all your flock. Meaning, even then, in other words, a person has to learn to limit himself and to limit himself and not to gorge himself and not to overindulge himself. Mikan, Omer of Elozim and Azariah, based on this, Elozim and Azariah explains, Mishi Yeshle Mone, if a person has a mone, which is 100 zuz, which is a moderate amount of money, Yikach Lifsoi Litra Yenek, then he should buy for his cook pot, he should buy a litra of vegetables. In other words, at an income level like that, he shouldn't be spending on anything more expensive than vegetables. Asara mana, if he has 10 mana, which is more, yikach lefasa litra dogim. Then fine, he can buy a litra of fish and cook that. Chamishim mana, if he has 50 mana, yikach lefasa litra basa. Then already he can, if he has 50 mana, then already he can buy himself a litra of meat. Tosfos points out that where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lived, apparently fish were cheaper than meat. We have other places in Midrashim where it implies the other way around. There were places in those times where meat was actually less expensive than fish. But here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's place, fish was cheaper, and therefore, if a person has 10 mana, then go ahead, you can start indulging yourself in fish. And if you have 50, then fine, you can have meat. Meya mana, and if you have 100 mana, which is a substantial amount of money, fine, Yishvasulekhdeirabacholyem, then they can set up a pot for him every day, and he can have meat every day if he wants. But in other words, the same idea. In other words, a person needs to learn to live within his means and not to overindulge, not to have more expensive tastes than he can afford. So Gemara says the Inoch Emas. Okay, but what about the people who have less money than that? And we're saying they should have only vegetables or only fish or whatever. Emas. When should they have? Actually, the question is rather like this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had finished off by saying, if you have 100 mana, then you can have a pot of meat every day. Implying the other ones is not necessarily every day. So Amos, so when should they eat the litra of vegetables or fish or whatever? And the answer is Erev Shabbos by Erev Shabbos. Specifically on Erev Shabbos, L'Kavod Shabbos, they should have nicer food than the rest of the week. But again, only if a person has 100 mana, a substantial amount of money, a substantial income, then he can afford to have meat every day. But otherwise, then meat or fish or even we said vegetables should be a treat that's reserved for special occasions such as Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav, Srichanan Olachos L'Divrei Zaken." So Rav says, you know, we do have to be concerned for the words of the elder of Elazar ben Azariah. We know famously Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, by the way, looked young and then he was young and then a nes happened and he looked old, which is a reason why Rav calls him over here Zaken. So it's true, we should learn to live on cheaper food. However, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan said, not necessarily. Abba, Mishpach of Briam Abba. Abba, which is Rav, some say Abba was his actual first name. Some say that Abba is a title of respect. Whatever it is, so Rav Yochanan is saying Rav could say that Mishmachas Briam Abba. He was from a family of healthy people, so therefore they could get by on very little food and very cheap food, and they would be good. Abba could go in Onu, but Rav Yochanan says people like us who are not so strong, then on the contrary, Mishli Yeshli Pruta B'Sech Kisei, a person has even a pruta in his pocket. Yuditzena Lachemben, he should run right over to the storekeeper rather than depriving himself. And because then if he deprives himself, he's going to end up being sicker, and then he's going to need more tzedakah. Amar of Nachman, instead of Nachman says, "Kein anu loivin va'ochlin," and we who are even weaker than in Rabbi Yochanan's times, we don't even have money, we should still borrow in order to eat, because otherwise we'll be really weak and we won't be able to. So the mice that we see, people are not noyeg like what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, to only save meat, and like we said before, to only save meat for special occasions, because the fact is we live in times when people are weaker, so therefore a person has to be able to have healthy food, even if it means borrowing to do that. Marshall, by the way, explains a little bit differently. He says, as far as when we said the Inach Emas, the other people, when. Marshall explains what it means is the Gemara is asking the person who has 100 mana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said, can eat meat every day. The other ones, the ones who have less money than that, how often can they eat meat? And the answer is only L'Kavod Shabbos. But again, as Rabbi Yochanan and Nachman are saying, we live in times when people are weaker, and maybe we don't even have the ability to do that, and therefore we have no choice but to eat meat more often, even if it means borrowing money to do that. more on this topic of household economy. The Gemara says the pasuk there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says there's a couple of pasukim back to back in Mishlei that go like this: Kuvasim lulvashacha, sheep for your clothing, or mechir soda aturdim, and the price or the exchange for a field would be goats. The day chalev izim, and there'll be enough milk from the goats. L'lachmacha, for your food, l'lachem be'secha, for the food of your household, v'chayim l'nare'secha, and life for your young girls. So now the Gemara is going to explain these psukim phrase by phrase and tell us what Shlomo is telling us about household economy. When it says kvasim lo v'shecha, when it says sheep should be for your garment, that means migez kvasim yom abushcha, means from shearing the sheep you'll get wool for your clothing. So in other words, don't shech the sheep, for example, and then wear their skins as clothing, but buy sheep would be a good investment, and then that way you'll have the wool on an ongoing basis to make clothes. Marshall also says, before it is, in other words, don't think you need to wear expensive clothes, like silk clothes or whatever, be satisfied with woolen clothes. And when the pasuk continues, mechir sada aturdim, and the exchange for a field is goats, so that means, lo'olam yimka adam sada v'yikach aturdim, a person should be prepared to sell his field in order to buy goats or sheep. And again, that way he'll get on an ongoing basis milk from them for his food, and of course the milk can also be made into cheese and butter and whatever, and wool for his clothing. So in other words, that's also part of household economy, which is you.
But one second.
Yeah.
If he sells his field, where is he going to put his goats?
You would take them. So the pasture, the field would be a field that you cultivate. You're not going to have goats graze there anyway. You would take the goats out. You would take the goats out to the forests or whatever and graze them there.
You cannot take them to the forest. They don't thrive in the forest.
Well, no, why not? The forest has plenty of forest. You find a forest that has grass in it, and they eat that, or they eat the young plants or whatever over there. Yeah, there's plenty. You even find, the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, you're not allowed to raise sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael precisely because they tend to eat in other people's fields. But the only way to validly do that is if you're going to have them graze in forests or places like that are hefker. So yeah. So that would be the idea.
You know, I never understood the fact that you don't have the right to grow sheep in Eretz Yisrael when David was a shepherd, and this tradition that all the others were shepherds.
That's
true. How can that be?
Okay, but you have to be very, very careful if you're going to do that they don't graze in other people's fields, which normally most people are not careful with. It's
well,
the others were careful. We know they had
that
sheep muzzled, and obviously Dovin was careful as well. But other than that, yeah, you'd have to go and seek out the uncultivated areas. You see, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu.
You see, for example,
when Moshe was pasturing Yisra's sheep, where does it say he took them? Achar HaMidbar. Beyond the desert. In other words, he went beyond the regular areas where most people were to find a place that's completely hefker, so that way he could graze them and there's no problem.
Okay, so if that's the case, and I agree with that, that makes a lot of sense. Why is the halacha saying that you're not allowed to raise sheep in Eretz Yisrael?
Because for most people, they're not going to be careful with that, and they're going to end up damaging other people's fields.
Say that about any animal. About any animal, you can say they're about cows, about donkeys, whatever you want.
Cows are not as prone to go and wander into other people's fields.
If you let them.
Sheep and goats are much. Sheep and goats are much more prone to do that.
Put them.
Okay. But that's how it is. All right, let's go on.
That's the halacha. You're not allowed to grow sheep. You're not allowed to grow sheep in Israel.
With certain exceptions, yes. With certain exceptions in general, that is the din, yeah. You have actually...
Such as what?
For example, you have a certain amount of time before Yom Tov or before wedding or something the Mishnah mentions you're allowed to. One thing is it's based on the presumption that fields in Eretz Yisrael are owned by Jews, and in fact in Shulchan Aruch it says that actually if you know that it's not like that, then you would be allowed to. Whatever, you have a bunch of dinim about that, but this isn't really the place for it, but yeah. All right, let's go on. Okay. Continues the Gemara. When the pasuk continues for day chalev isim, enough milk of goats, that means dayal adam sheisparas mechalev gedoyim mitzloim shabasech beisay, a person should be satisfied with living off the milk and the milk products of the goats and the sheep that are in his household, rather than shechting the animals and eating them. The pasuk continues, in other words, a person should always be looking for, instead of just doing the short-term gain, like this, for example, you're going to shech the animal, and you're going to have a short-term gain, you're going to have a lot of meat. Don't do that. Look to the longer term. The pasuk continues, lachmcha lelechem beisecha, for your food and the food of your household. That means, why does it say in that order? Lachmcha kodem lelechem shal beisecha, lelechem beisecha, your food comes before the food of your household. So in other words, l'lachmcha l'lachem beisecha, because then say v'lachem beisecha. So therefore, we learn from that that it means your lachmcha, your food, comes before that of your household. As opposed to, in other words, the Gemara is going to go on to say, as far as clothing, that's different. Then you have to show preference to your wife and children over yourself. But when it comes to food, then you're kind of entitled to first. And the pasuk finishes off, l'chaim b'vashtos, the idea is because if you yourself don't eat, then you're going to be weak, and you won't be able to support the family. L'chaim l'nare secha, and the pasuk finishes off, and life for your young maidens, that means, oma mazutra b'edrav nachman, ten chaim l'nare secha, that means give life to your young people in your household, teach them the right way to live. In other words, again, teach them to be able to be able to manage with little. Mikan lim the Torah derecheretz. Here the Torah is teaching you the proper way of behavior. Shloya lamed adamas menoy baser yain. A person should not get his children accustomed to meat and wine because those are expensive tastes and they're not always going to be able to afford them. So teach them, even when they're little, that they should make do with simpler food. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yechanan, a roitza sheis asher. If a person wants to become rich, Yasik with Hemadaka, then he should be involved with raising the Hemadaka, with raising small animals. So, in other words, like we said, because then you have a constant stream of income from them between the milk and the wool, so therefore it's good. Now, Tosfos here points out.
How does that fit with the halachic prohibition of raising sheep?
Hold on. So let me say what I was going to say from Tosfos, and that'll help explain it. So Tosfos asks, never mind the halacha about it. The fact is, also the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Pesachim that if a person is involved in raising small animals, he won't see a siman bracha. Whereas over here we're saying that on the contrary, you can get rich by that. And the answer is Tosfos says because there's a difference whether he's doing it in a settled area versus not. When he's in a settled area, in an inhabited area, then there's a problem. Aside from the issur, there's also the problem of ayin hara. But here we're talking about, he has them in the forest where nobody sees them, and therefore they're not subject to ayin hara. So then a person can in fact become rich from them, from the income, from the constant stream of income that he gets from them. So that would help answer your question as well. That it's also the matter of issur as well. The issur doesn't apply. When you're raising them and taking care of them in the forest, because then they're grazing over there, and therefore you're not harming anybody else's fields. But when you're doing it in a settled area, aside from the issur, you also even if you find a way to not have a problem with the issur, but nevertheless you also have ayin hara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, so in this connection, Rav Chista says, Ma'ayi d'chtiv ashteris tzoneha, what does the Torah call sheep? The Torah speaks of the ashteris of your flocks in next week's parasha. So it means, so the simple meaning of ashteris means the strong ones, but here we dash an ashteris, maloshen osher, shema ashteris, es ba'alehen, they cause their owners to become rich, because we're saying, in other words, a person has sheep, has a flock of sheep, then he can become rich from that, from the products of the sheep that he sells. Okay. Since we're talking about statements of Rabbi Yochanan about proper behavior and about household economy, so now the Gemara brings another thing from Rabbi Yochanan, not directly related to what we said above. Better a person should drink a drink of liquid that has been bewitched by somebody with black magic, rather than the lekosed potion, rather than a cup of warm water, because warm water is really bad for you. So as bad as it would be to drink something that's been bewitched, that's had a spell put on it, where then shading or whatnot can harm a person, but warm liquid, warm water is even worse for him. So, however, the Gemara says, "V'hani mili b'klei matfas." First of all, that applies only if the warm water is in a metal keli. The pashtos, I mean, we can understand balabatish, you know, that warm water is likely to have a lot more bacteria in it. If it was boiled, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that kills the bacteria. But warm water, because it's warm, so therefore, and then therefore it's a perfect place for bacteria and whatnot to multiply, so therefore it can in fact make a person very sick. But the Gemara says, v'hani mili b'klei matfas, that would only apply if it's in a metal keli. Less than well, but if it's in an earthenware keli, then it's not a problem. Why would that be? I guess you could say balabatish. You could say that maybe the metal leaches into the water, especially into the warm water, and it's even worse for you, whereas klei cheres are inert. Or the klei matchas nami le'amaron, even if it's in a metal keli, it's also, we don't say that, it's a danger, unless if you don't put sivya into them. Rashi says sivya just means any kinds of roots or herbs or whatever, so if you make a tea out of it, basically, if you make a tea out of it, then there's not a problem. Again, I guess we can assume balabatish that means some of these herbs and whatever would neutralize would kill off the bacteria or neutralize the heavy metals or whatever. So yeah. V'chila shodei b'hutzivya, even if you didn't put herbs or spices into it, nami lamor, and we also don't say it's a danger, only if the water was not boiled. If it was boiled, then it's not a problem, because obviously then I'll kill off whatever is living in the water. Okay. V'omer Rabbi Yechanan says another statement about household economy. And here Rabbi Yechanan is going to be saying kind of like the opposite of what a person should do. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Yechanan is going to describe things by which a person might lose a huge amount of money in a short amount of time. So therefore, in other words, don't do these things. If a person was left money by his father, and therefore, like he didn't work for it, he just inherited it. So money is cheap to him. You want to know how he's going to lose a fortune in a short amount of time. There's actually an interesting explanation that some Mephoshim say that this Gemara is also in Bava Metzia. And in Bava Metzia, the expression is over there that he was left mois rabois, a lot of money. So there's actually an interesting gear set that the word is not rabois, but ribis, that he was left money of ribis, and now like he dafka wants to waste it because he doesn't want that to be part of his fortune so that he doesn't lose the rest of his fortune, with it. So in fact, Maharsha says that's what it means. In other words, like you have, for example, sometimes you have a person has his own fortune, and then he has a fortune that he inherited from his father, and he knows that if one of them is going to end up having a bad effect on the other. The Gemara brings an example that he refers to a Gemara in Ksubas, where the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gurion, after the Churban, she was desperately poor, even though her father was one of the richest people in Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai asks what happened. And she says, my father, even though he was a Baal Chesed, he gave tzedakah, but he didn't give as much as he should have, so therefore Hashem caused him to lose his money. And Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai said, what about your father-in-law? He said, yeah, but their money was mixed together, like they had businesses in common, and therefore when one went, the other went as well. So therefore, so now the Gemara is saying then that if this heir has, let's say his father got money somehow illegally or whatever, or somehow he doesn't want it mixed up with his own money, so he wants to like waste it as fast as possible, then Rabbi Yechanan tells him here's how to waste it. Yubash klei pishtan, he should wear linen, garments, which wear out easily, and he should use glass vessels, and he hire workers and not sit together with them. So each of these, the Gemara is going to explain in a specific example, as the Gemara want to mention, then that can cause a large fortune can be wasted in a very short amount of time. So what does that mean? The Gemara says, Yubash Klei Pishtan. That means, what kind of linen garments are we talking about? I mean, linen was fairly commonly used in those days. So what kind of linen garments would be a problem? Would be the Kitna Rumisa. Specifically, we're talking about Roman linen, which was very expensive. And wore out quickly. When it says he should use glass kalim, means specifically we're talking about white glass, clear glass or like crystal or whatever, which is also very expensive and very easily breakable. So therefore, so in other words, the idea is he's going to use that, and he's going to end up using a large amount of money. He's going to end up wasting a large amount of money very fast. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Sota says that such glass disappeared after the Churban. So in that case, how can Rabbi Yochanan, who was generations later, be giving a person the idea of using such glass? So Tosfos says it doesn't mean that it actually disappeared completely. It just means that it became very, very rare. We find, for example, the Gemara tells us in Brochus that one of the Amoroyim, he saw that by the wedding of his son, he saw that people were being very, very, the Chachamim there were being very, very extra joyous, and he felt that's not really appropriate nowadays in the times after the Churban. So he broke a glass of Kleis Chuchis, and that made everybody sad. And this is where we get the minhag of breaking a glass by a chasana. But the point is that way he tempered their joy with that. So we see, in other words, from that also, that Zugisa Chivarta, this white glass, existed after the Churban as well. It was just much, much rarer. And when we say Yisker Perlam of Al Yoshevi Mohan, when it says hire workers and don't sit with them, that means Baturdi Denafish Psidaihu. It means workers with oxen where the loss is very great. So Rashi explains that what happens is he hires the workers, he doesn't supervise them, and he gives them his oxen to plow. So now what they do is they don't care if the oxen end up getting injured, if they end up getting banged up in the forests or in the vineyards, and that the work won't turn out to be worth anything. They're not going to care because it's not their animals and they're not being supervised. So in Bava Metzia, again, this Gemara is also in Bava Metzia, Rashi gives more detail. He says we're not so much talking about plowing particularly. We're talking about when they were harvesting the produce of the vines. When they're harvesting the grapes, they would put them in wagons that are pulled by oxen. And again, the idea is if you don't supervise the workers, then they're not going to care what the animals are going to do. That they might trample the vines and get tangled up in them and whatever, and they're not going to care because it's not their animals. So therefore, in other words, you're going to hire workers to watch your animals. You're going to hire workers with animals. Then make sure you watch them carefully so that such things don't happen. Because if not, as we're saying, then we're saying you could easily lose a large fortune with that very quickly. Tosfos brings another explanation. It is referring to oxen plowing, but what it means is if you don't supervise the workers to make sure that they're doing the plowing well, then instead they'll do it they'll do they'll they won't plow so deeply, and then it's not going to be good. The crops won't grow well because you're not supervising them properly. Aside from the simple, straightforward meaning of what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us about household economy and about the importance of making sure that things are supervised, there's also lessons in here as far as what a person should be doing as far as his mitzvahs and as far as supervising his Yetzirah and so forth. And if not, then there can be tremendous damage done. So a person has to keep an eye on these things. So in this connection, the Gemara continues talking more about household economy. Dorash Rav Avira. Rav Avira gave a drasha. Zimnin Amala Meshmeid Rav Ami, Zimnin Amala Meshmeid Rav Asi. Sometimes you would say it in the name of Rav Ami, sometimes in the name of Rav Asi. Meaning, in other words, Pashtus, it means he learned it from both of them. My dichtiv, what does the pasuk mean? When it says, Toiv ish koinin umalda, the person is good when he's generous and he lends, yichalkol dvar v'mishpat, he's careful with his words at point of justice. So that means that on the one hand, he's choyin umalda, he's generous and liberal when it comes to lending out and giving out money. On the other hand, we're saying for his own things, yichalkol dvarav, he measures out carefully what needs to be done. So that means a person should eat and drink less than his means, and dress and cover himself with what's appropriate to his means, and then honor his wife and children even more than he has, because they depend on him. He in turn depends on Hashem, who spoke and the world comes into existence. So in other words, he should be more willing to be more generous with them. He's generous to his wife and his children, and he gives them even nicer clothing than what he could afford, and even Malva will be willing to lend, to borrow money on their behalf, but for himself, he'll be very careful with justice to only eat, to eat less than what he could afford. Same idea. And as Marshall says, this connects with what we said before. For example, a person has sheep. Instead of shechting the sheep and eating the meat, instead he should make do with less, make do with milk and cheese from them, and then lachmachal koydim lelecha beisecha. But when it comes to kavod, then he needs to provide for them more ahead of himself and more than himself. Okay. So all of that was topics about household economy, which again we got to by way of the Gemara explaining that that's why it says Asher Yotzur when it comes to eating meat, when it comes to eating wild animals or birds, that a person should act for himself as though it was Yotzur, as though it's something that has to be caught with effort rather than just willy-nilly eating meat all the time. Okay. Now getting back to the dinim of Kisi Adam. The Gemara says, Dorosh Rav Eina, Pischa de Reish Galusa. Rav Eina gave the following Dorosha in front of the doorway of the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa, as we've learned many times before, was the governor of the Jewish people in Babel. So he was important. He was like the governor, he was like a government's minister of Jewish affairs, so to speak. So his household was always a place, in front of his house was always a place where people would be gathering, and one time Rav Eina gave a Dorosha in front of there. Suppose a person shechts an animal for a sick person on Shabbos, chayav l'chasas, and he has to do kisi adam. Now, meaning in other words, pikuach nefesh is doicha most of the Torah, so therefore, because he's allowed to shecht for the chayla, so now, once Shabbos is able to be overridden for the shechita, then it's also overridden for everything that's in connection with the shechita, namely in this case, the kisi adam. But Rabba says to the Talmidim, Ashtoima Kama, he's saying something very strange, something very odd. They should take away his amoda from him. What does his amoda mean? So Rashi says means his tongue. So in other words, like how could he be saying like that, which is going to mislead people? A different explanation, Rashi says, is the girsa is not is it another girsa. Rashi says not a shtoima kamar, but idishma kamar. If he says it in his own name, lishmatu la amoda, then they should take away his amoda, the one who would be in front of him to announce his drasha to the public, in order to embarrass him, because he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be telling something like that just on his own that people are going to be misled by it. And Rava says it has to be. It can't be that you should be able to do kisi adam in a case like that. Because the Tanya, we learned a Brisa, Rabbi Yossi, I remember Rabbi Yossi says, we learned in the Mishnah about a Kori, that we said you don't shecht a Kori on Yom Tov, which we learned in the previous parak. A Kori is a Suffolk Chai or a Suffolk Behema. So you don't shecht it on Yom Tov because you can't do Kisi Adam. V'im shechte mechasna domain, if you did shecht it, then you don't do Kisi Adam. Which we said there was a couple of reasons why we don't do kisi adam, but now Rabbi Yossi says he was one of them. Mikavachomer, he was a kavachomer to tell you you shouldn't do kisi adam for a kori on Yom Tov. Uma mila shavado doicha shabbos, madach mila, where definite mila, where it's on the eighth day, then you do it on Shabbos, as we know that a mila on the eighth day is doicha Shabbos. Nevertheless, ain't seita doicha Yom Tov. But if you have a doubt, not only is it not doicha Shabbos, it's not even doicha Yom Tov. What happens, for example, a baby is born exactly a week before Yom Tov, but he was born Ben Ashmashis. He was born Ben Ashmashis a week before Yom Tov, and so we don't know whether the eighth day is Yom Tov. Let's say, for example, not a week before Yom Tov, but let's say, for example, that you have Shabbos and Yom Tov back to back, and the baby is born on Ben Ashmashis, a Friday going into Shabbos. If the following week there's a Yom Tov, not only do you not do the bris on Shabbos, because it might be the eighth day, it might be the seventh. So you don't do the bris then, if the baby was born Friday night, Ben Ashmashes, then it's a suffix, because it's the eighth day or the ninth day, and because of that, you're not doing the Shabbos. But if now Yom Tov is on Sunday, then you don't do the bris on Sunday either. So suffix is not doing the Yom Tov at all. So then Kisi Adam, where even in a definite case is not Deucha Shabbos, which on the face of it is going to be on the face of it, is going to be the penis case where you shecht it on Shabbos for a chayla. Ain't a din shein speaker doichy yomdiv. So Rabbi Yossi says how much more so that a suffix of kisi adam should not be doichy yomdiv. And since a koy is only a suffix, whether you need to do kisi adam, then Rabbi Yossi is saying you see from that you can't do it on yomdiv. Tosfos discusses over here, we talked about previously in the Mishnah, a couple of different reasons why you don't do kisi adam of a koi on yom tov. You're like, so what? So it's a suffix, so why shouldn't you? So one possibility we said is because the dirt of ashes might be mukta, and another reason we said was because people might think that the chelim of it is mukta. So Tosfos discusses according to which of those opinions would this kavachomer fit. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Yossi is saying that kisi adam is not doicha yom tov when it's a suffix. What he says is the vade of it is not doicha Shabbos, even if you know for a fact that kisi adam needs to be done. Rabbi Yossi is saying you don't do it on suffix. So first let's finish through the braisa, and then Rabbi will go back to how this show is not like what Rabbi Eina is saying. So the other chachamim said to Rabbi Yossi, why? I can show you to the contrary. Tkiyas shreifa begvulim vechiyach. You can prove to the contrary. You can prove from the contrary from tkiyas shreifa outside the Bais HaMikdash. We know that they would blow shofar. We don't blow shofar on Shabbos outside the Bais HaMikdash, which is why nowadays when the first day Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. But in the Bais HaMikdash, and some Rishonim learn that it means even in the rest of Yerushalayim, the Rambam learned that it means that in the whole Yerushalayim, they would blow shofar. So she'en vador b'cha Shabbos. Even when you know for sure that today is Rosh Hashanah, then you don't blow shofar on Shabbos because of the famous Gzeira Diraba, because of the Gzeira that you might take it outside to learn how to blow shofar, was Sfeika Deicha Yom Tov, and yet the suffix of it is Deicha Yom Tov, because you blow shofar on Yom Tov, even if you don't know for sure that the suffix is in the sense, and Rashi says that a chumtum or an androgynous, even though it's a suffix, whether they're a man or a woman, are still chayev in shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So women are potter because mitzvah says shas man grom, but a chumtum and an androgynous are a suffix, and yet they do blow shofar on Yom Tov. So you see, therefore, the chachamim say that even though you have something which the vada is not doicha Shabbos because of the gzeira, nevertheless on Yom Tov, when a person who has a suffix, whether they're chayiv and shofar, still blows. Now Tosfos says, okay, the reason you don't blow on Shabbos is because shemi yavirenu, because you might carry it in Rosh Hashanah. That's not relevant on Yom Tov. So what kind of a kavachomer is it? So Tosfos says, yeah, let's say, for example, so the tumtum, let's say, if the tumtum is actually a woman, and after all, the tumtum has their genitals covered up, so we can't tell whether it's a man or a woman. The fact is, if it was on Yom Tov, you wouldn't be able to carry a shofar to blow for her, because she's not chayev. So you can, in fact, say that the vaday is not doicha Shabbos or Yom Tov, and yet the suffix for a tumtum or androgynous is. So therefore, so the kavachomer is valid after all. Now, not everybody agrees with that. Women, of course, are not chayiv and kiyas shofar, that's a given. But can you carry it for them? That's not necessarily so. The fact is that people, for example, go on mitzvah shofar even when they're going to blow for women. Tosfos then also says, listen, after all, kiyas shofar itself is not really a malacha. It's only midirabanan. It's considered a chochma, and still it's mutter on yomtov for somebody who's chayiv a suffix. So therefore, so the kavachomer would still work. So they say to Rabbi Yossi, you're trying to make a kavachomer that if something is vaday also on Shabbos, then the suffix of it should be also on Yom Tov, but you see by Shkiyas Shofar, it's not like that. So, and Heshiv Rabbi Elazar HaKapa Beribi, and Rabbi Elazar HaKapa Beribi gave also tshuva, he gave another refutation of Rabbi Yossi's kavachomer. Beribi means that he was a great Talmud Chacham. So Mala Mila, Shekhen, and in the head, you're saying that you can compare to Mila, where again, Mila, Vaday, 8 days, is Doicha Shabbos, but a suffix is not Doicha, not only Shabbos, but not even Yom Tov. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapa says, so what? Mala Mila, Shekhen, and in the head, is Belevi Yom Tovim. What's the difference is that Mila does not apply on Yom Tov night, because you only do Mila by day. Term of a Kisu, Shinoi, Belevi Yom Tovim. How can you compare to Kisi Adam, which does apply by night as well, because if a person shechted by night on Yom Tov, then you also do Kisi Adam. So you see, you can't make a Kavachomer from Mila to Kisi Adam. You see that Kisi Adam is a stronger thing that it applies even by night. And so Omer of Abba, so Rav Abba says on that, the Aruch brings that actually, this is actually Rav, who just said, he said on Amud Aleph, that Rav was also called Abba. Some say that it means his first name was Abba, And therefore, so Omer Rav Abba and this Braisa and a couple of others in Shas is actually Rav. Anyway, so Rav Abba says, Ze'echad min advarim, Shomer Rav Chiya, in the Aleihem Tshuva, this is one of the things that Rav Chiya said, I have no refutation for the Heshev, Rav Elazar HaKappa B'Ribi Tshuva, and yet Rav Elazar HaKappa B'Ribi was able to give a refutation. In other words, Rashi says, Rav Chiya didn't consider the question about Shofar, because, as a matter of fact, as the Gemara is going to explain further on, the fact is that Vada Tkiya Shofar is Derech HaShabbos, because again, in the Bis Mikdash itself, you blow Shofar on Shabbos. So therefore, it's not really a valid Pircha, but Rav Elazar HaKappa's proof from the fact that Kisi Adam applies by night as well, as opposed to Mila, that's a very strong refutation against what Rav Yossi says. Anyway, the Gemara says, Tatoni Mias, at any rate, the Braisa said, Kisi Shein Radoi Derech HaShabbos, that Kisi Adam, the Vada of it, is not Derech HaShabbos. Now, even the Chachamim and Rav Elazar HaKappa are not disagreeing with that point. They're just saying you can't prove from that therefore the Suffolk of it shouldn't be Derech HaYomtiv. So, my Vadoi de Kisi Dele Derech HaShabbos, what would be a case of Vada on Shabbos that you wouldn't do Kisi Adam, Lava Shecha B'chol B'Shabbos. Wouldn't it be Rav Eina's case where you're shechting for a sick person on Shabbos? So we don't say that just because you're allowed to shecht means you're allowed to do Kisi Adam. So it means, in other words, therefore Rabba says, how could Rav Eina say such a thing? So the Ritva gives a couple of reasons. First of all, because, after all, Shabbos is Shabbos. You know, it's one thing, Pikuach Nefesh is Derech HaShabbos, but not to this extent. Also, this way, we should realize that it's only allowed because of Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore that people are not going to be more careless with Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara says, why? The Duma de Ovar Shachatik, maybe you could say, the Braisa is talking about where he went ahead and shechted wrongly. So in other words, there was no heter to be Mechal Shabbos, and now we're saying, therefore, that you shouldn't do Kisi Adam. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is not referring at all to a case where you had a heter to shecht on Shabbos. After all, Dumya Demila. So to Ovar Shachat, so maybe it means that he was over, and he shechted. How do you know Rabbi Yossi is talking about a case where he had the right to shecht? And the answer is Dumya Demila, because it has to be similar to Bris Mila. Ma Mila Birshus, because Mila is talking about, when does he say, what does he mean when the Vada Mila is Derech HaShabbos? Means when you're doing a Bris on the eighth day, like you're supposed to. So Ma Mila Birshus, Af Kisi Nam Birshus, and necessarily the Kisi Adam has to be that we're talking about where he had the Birshus to Shecht, and the question is whether he should do Kisi Adam or not. So there's actually, there are holds on this and says that if you already have loose dirt, then so there's no issue that has to be done, so then he should be allowed to. But then the Ritva asks on him, and then that doesn't fit with the Gemara over here, and there was a back and forth between the Ritva and the Ra'ah about that. When Rav Eina said, I'd shake up the Chodah B'Shabbos, then the Ra'ah says it means even if he hadn't prepared dirt from beforehand, he would have a mitzvah to cover the blood, and therefore, Rav Eina cannot be referring just to a case where there was already loose dirt. And also, the Ritva points out, if you already had loose dirt, there really wouldn't be a chiddush. So the back and forth between the Ra'ah, Rashba, and the Ritva about this, about whether you do Kisi Adam in a case like that, when you shecht it on Shabbos for a chola, if you have loose dirt available. So the point is, in other words, so therefore, the Braisa clearly is not talking about where he was over and shechted on Shabbos, so it must be talking about where he had permission to shecht on Shabbos, and therefore Rabba says, how could Rav Eina say such a thing that you can do Kisi Adam when Rav Yossi is clearly saying that you don't, and the other Amiroi, and the other him on what he wants to derive from that, they don't disagree with the actual din itself. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll analyze the rest of the price of the other opinions in it.